following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hey, Greeny, you know what really irritates me?
When I'm right and you're wrong?
Well, that certainly does. But also, when there are annoying tags in my underwear and t-shirts, you know the ones, that scratch your skin and bother you all day?
Oh, the worst.
Exactly. That's why I only wear Hanes now, because Hanes got rid of the annoying tags in all their t-shirts and underwear, so they're more comfortable than ever before. Hanes is known for their tagless t-shirts, and now all Hanes underwear is tagless, too. This includes every pair of boxers, briefs, and boxer briefs.
That sounds great. Now, if only I could get rid of all the annoying things around me, just like that.
Yeah. What's that supposed to mean?
You're in your car, and your car, well, it takes more money from you than your kids. But you can't afford to cut your car's allowance. That's why you signed up for AutoZone Rewards, which helps you save money while you work on your car. So while the cost of raising kids can drive you crazy, at least you'll still be driving.
Sign up for AutoZone Rewards. It's free to join. Just spend $20 or more 5 times and earn $20 in store credit. Become a member today. Get in the zone. AutoZone. See store for restrictions and details.
Dream come true for me. You know, I grew up. All I ever wanted to do was be a Husker.
Back to throw is Tater, looking, holding, set, throws deep downfield, looking toward the end zone. The pass is caught. Touchdown. Kenny Bell pulls it in.
Ball is given to Fryer on an inside handoff. He floats. The 20, the 10. Touchdown, Nebraska.
Hundley gets the snap. Husker send a blitz. Hundley steps up, gets in, goes down. Big sack by the Cornhuskers. Andrew Green on a corner blitz brings him down.
Second down and 6. Martinez running, first down, Taylor Martinez. Oh, here he goes. Martinez, can he outrun him? Martinez at the 10. Touchdown, Nebraska. 92 yards.
That'll be back to throw, looking, throwing down toward the end zone as a man out there overshoots it, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Stanley Sean. Baptiste in the end zone. The third pick of the night for the Husker defense.
Steve Taylor looks to the five-man Cowboy front, takes the snap, hands it off to Clark, cuts back left side, 30, 32, 33, 35, broke it out across the 40, 45, he may go, 50, 45, 40, first place from scrimmage, 25, 20, 15, 10, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown! Holy cow, unbelievable, the first play from scrimmage.
Martinez gets a shotgun snap, back to throw, Tater sets, throws over the middle pass, caught, Ben Cotton! Touchdown! And Nebraska has taken the lead!
Nobody's been more dominant than Nebraska. Nothing can compare to it.
Frazier adding more numbers, more yards to those. Big, oh, they don't have them yet! Look at Tommy Frazier! How many tackles can one man break? Touchdown!
Martinez in trouble. Reverses. Trying to break contain. Martinez up the sideline. Still running. Look at him! Taylor Martinez!
Set, throws, pass, intercepted, Stafford at the 20, 15, 10, Damian Stafford down to the 4-yard line. The Huskers now with a chance to tie it at the Penn State 4. Snap back to McGloin, throws it out to flat to Lehman, the tight end, he makes a catch, leads, fumbles the ball in the end zone, Huskers recover in the end zone, it's a touchback.
Nebraska's thin up front, George is going a little tempo on him, he's trying to set a screen, and
formation for the Huskers. Zimmer is the fullback. Burkhead the deep back. Play action fake. Tater back looking deep downfield. Has a man out there. The pass is caught. Touchdown. Quincy Inunua. His first 6 points of the year.
Play clock's getting close. Let's see if Taylor's going to be able to get it off. He does. Martinez. Jones was after it. Fire into the end zone. Touchdown Nebraska. It's Jamal Turner.
From the 20. I formation. Cross the deep back. They give it off to Amani, right side. He's got a first down, 15-10. Amani crossing a 5, banging his way to the end zone for a touchdown.
Just to buckle it up one time and see what it feels like to wear that N on the side of your helmet. Because I tell you what, when you got that helmet on, you don't feel like there's anything that you can't accomplish.
Twins to the far side. Huskers do send a blitz. Here comes Compton. Hit it from the outside. They hit Bellamy. Bring him to the turf at the 20-yard line. Ciante Evans with a sack for the Big Red.
O'Brien turns. Hands off Monte Ball. Hit it! He's stopped. He's short of the
the 36. Thompson now dropping straight back. This one is intercepted by Tomjak. Jeff Tomjak.
Oh, I like that stance.
So he'll get the handoff. It is Hoffman. Hoffman to midfield.
He's got another gear.
They are not going to catch him. Jack Hoffman to the end zone. Husker touchdown.
This is super duper awesome. Thanks for the trophy. I'm glad that you are all now on Team Jack. And I know with you, we can't lose. Thanks.
Oh, there truly is no place like Nebraska.
And it is here. Football season upon us. The Doug and Daddy Show. The final Friday of August. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you for the next hour or until we feel like we're ready to go to lunch. Glad to have you along with us as we've got another full show. I look up at the scheduling calendar and I don't know how there's any room left on any of it. It's been one whale of a time over a month since going to Chicago and coming back from Big Ten Media Days, and it's just been pedal to the metal ever since. And high school football, handful of games last night. A couple of number ones were taken right down to the wire. One got beat. One was a winner. We'll talk about that. Many more games. The rest of A and B tonight. Quite a few C and D as well. We'll get into that. We will talk with Mike Perenio from the Mandalay Bay with college football getting underway last night. Already some great finishes, some oddities. We'll talk about the points and the odds and all that going into the weekend, plus the NFL starts next Thursday. So we'll talk with Mike Perenio, the director of the Race and Sportsbook at Mandalay Bay. Dick Buechner is going to be in at the bottom of the hour. The Nebraska High School Hall of Fame ceremonies coming up in just about 2-3 weeks here, and we'll take a preview of that. Plus, the Oregon Trails Rodeo is going on in Hastings. We will catch up with Trell Etbauer. He is one of the outstanding competitors that will be there this weekend. So that's all coming up. Plus, Pigskin Pick'em. Jimmy's filling it out right now. He's ready to go 1-0 on the season, and we'll give our Husker predictions. Jimmy, welcome. Good morning.
Morning to you. Good job. Way to lead into the show.
Well, thank you. It's always fun and finding new highlights, and of course the ones from last year. And boy, it reiterates as I get ready for my Husker prediction at the end of the show, not just for Wyoming but for the season, how many close games the Huskers had last year, how many big plays Jamal Turner, Taylor Martinez both made last year, and you just heard a few of them in the open here today.
Hey, great college football game last night. Rutgers, you know, got beat 52-51 in overtime. I think the Fresno quarterback threw for like 500 yards. I mean, so already we're on a big start right now for the Heisman watch.
Also last night, a lightning delay. South Carolina, and I mentioned this earlier on this season, and when I was doing a little guest in on Hail Varsity in Lincoln with Chris Schmidt, we were talking about this as well. You've got all these SEC teams that are in the preseason top 10. Well, they can't possibly all finish there. Which one is set up for, I don't know, for failure or not to lead? I just didn't see it with South Carolina. I think the Clowney thing proved out already last night that he's overblown and overhyped. He's great. Okay, let's not do that. But I mean, how can you not be in shape the first game of the year? What else you doing?
Yeah, he said. He said he had a stomach virus early in the week. That's what he said. I don't know if you heard that or not, that he said it. But you know, you're talking about a team that's ripe for the pick, and how about Georgia with their schedule? I mean, Georgia, you know, they're just one play away from going to the national championship game. They're one play away. They may be a lot of plays away this year.
And South Carolina, again, they jumped out 17-0 last night. They hit a couple of big home runs. North Carolina comes out, moves the ball, eats up 7 minutes in the third quarter on their opening drive, and they have to settle for a 19-yard field goal. They had it first and goal at the 2, could have made it 20-14. And instead of that happening, they kick a field goal, and a couple of plays later, a 75-yard run for South Carolina. Then they have to wait out the lightning, and then by then you know it's over. Even though there's 8.5 minutes left, you know it's over, and South Carolina wins at 27-10. A couple of Big Ten teams got in action last night. Indiana, as expected, rolled Indiana State. A lot of points. What do you look at there, Jimmy? Indiana scored 73, or they gave up 35 to Indiana State?
Yeah, I probably a little bit of both. You know what I mean?
Just okay, coach, that's not the question. Which one?
Well, what I'm saying, if you score in one play, then the other team's going to get the ball. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if it takes you 17 plays to go down there, they're not going to get the football. So I think when one team scores really quick, then you're going to have points coming back the other way. It's very seldom are you going to beat somebody 73-0 unless you're just completely out. I guess the game that surprised me, you know, I know there's a lot of baseball going on in August, and Hawaii played USC. Did you see the score?
30-13, yeah.
Well, at one time, it was at the end of the quarter, it was USC 3, Hawaii 2. Yeah, and then
and
Hawaii
kicked 5-2.
Yeah, then it was 5-3. Yeah, 5-3, and then it was 10-5. And then, you know, Hawaii was driving, and the kid picked one off. It went 65 yards for a touchdown, and the momentum of that game switched. So USC's probably not as good as people think they're going to be.
And Hawaii, of course, as we will find out, it's always overreaction Monday or Tuesday after that first game. Everybody will overreact one way or the other.
I agree.
And we may be doing that a little bit here as well. Minnesota, big play in that game. It's going to be a 7-point game. UNLV is ready to kick a field goal to cut it to 7. Instead, Minnesota blocks the field goal, returns it 70-some yards for a touchdown. So instead of it being a 7-point game, it's a 17-point game, and Minnesota doesn't look back. 51-23 over UNLV. Bowling Green beat Tulsa 34-7. For the Kearney fans, UNK plays the 1AA Central Arkansas this year. Central Arkansas 58-7 over Incarnate Word. Last night, whatever that means. You can look up Incarnate Word.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't got any of their jackets or T-shirts.
Also last night, Connecticut. Remember when they were a BCS football program winning the conference out there?
Yes.
The Big East? They lost 1,000 last night, 33-18.
Wow.
So you just never know. You never know. Delaware Blue Hens, they're a winner last night. Joe Flacco, happy about that. Coming up. Again, we've got a lot to talk about, so if you'd like to join us, 888-455-ESPN. You need to know that number for Pigskin Pick'em, brought to you by Big Daly's Deli and Cunningham's. We're pleased to have them both back on. It's going to be fun. If you get in, all you have to do is get in, answer our trivia question. You'll qualify. You'll get the Big Daly's Deli lunch combo. And if you beat us, both of us, you get the Cunningham's cash. If you don't, the Cunningham's cash continues to grow. And grow, and we got off to what an 88-0 start last year.
Yeah, I think we lost. Well, you and I did. You were with Randy Bushcutter the first day. Remember that? And got beat, and then you brought me in. Thought, hey, we got to get somebody
Let's
in
go
here.
To the bullpen.
Here we go to the bullpen. Brought me in until I lost. I think we went 8-0. You won about five of those though.
We had some emails yesterday that I didn't quite get to everything that I wanted to here. Andrew fired in. He was wondering if this new way of doing things for Coach Pelini in regards to naming the captains ahead of time, handing out the black shirts before the season, is a switch of philosophy or a sign of growth in the athletes on the team. What do you think?
I don't know. I think probably trying to build some confidence, I guess. I don't know. He's just trying something new. You know, I mean, it's a lot better to do it this way than take them away. You know, hey, we're just going to take these black shirts away, you know, and we'll get away. No one's playing defense.
I think it's a lot more the leadership. Everybody's more comfortable. I've been on this kind of – this has been my view of the team ever since spring, is that it's just much more cohesive. Now, whether the talent is there, but you've got a lot of leadership, you've got a lot of upperclassmen outside of the defensive front seven. So – let's see how that pans out. Also, John says, Doug, can you make another bold prediction like your Super Bowl pick from last year? With the new targeting rule, choose how many ejections there will be. I don't know what he's talking about. Ejections of what? This weekend? This year? I just hope the officials kind of take that back. They're not. I hope they don't look. We saw some hits last night in a couple of games, and I think there was one kid. I saw a highlight, and I don't remember which game it was. I think there was one kid on a punt return where he lit the guy up before he caught the ball, and I think they did toss him. This is going to be fans. I'm not an official. I'm going to wait and see just like you do. I'm not sure what is going to make an ejection, what's not going to make an ejection. Here's the one thing that I don't want to hear. People bitching when they don't kick somebody out of a game. You know what? Because it's never happened before. Get the penalty and then live with it. Don't be looking to get guys thrown out of the game, whether they're on your team or somebody else's team.
Yeah, I would say that would definitely be – I agree with that. No one likes to be thrown out of a game. No one wants somebody thrown out. Everybody's worked hard. You know, in practice, you're doing sprints. You know, imagine how much time in the weight room, and then all of a sudden you have a 50-50 deal and somebody wants to look good for their commissioner. You know, they're a signer, so they throw somebody out. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. It's not all football today, although we can't wait for the end of the program. That's when Perennio comes on. We make our predictions, Pigskin Pick'em. So stay with us for that. Going to talk a little rodeo, going to talk a little high school Hall of Fame, all that and more coming up.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle. And so I came here it's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it because you're back to 100% and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
At Advance Auto Parts, getting the chance to save and win is your advance advantage. Right now, you can get a 5-quart jug of Valvoline conventional oil and a DriveWorks filter for just $21.99. You save about $8. Plus, you can enter to win a $25,000 garage giveaway. That's like saving $25,008 on your oil change. In a fuzzy math sort of way. Only at
Advance Auto Parts.
No purchase necessary. See store for details. Visit garagesweeps.com for more info.
Yo, what's up? Right Brand Bacon here. I'm the bigger, better bacon. Bacon that makes a bold statement. We're talking major slices of thick, meaty bacon. I'm so big you could serve me to the presidents on Mount Rushmore. When I'm on the grill sizzling, I smell so incredible. It attracts guys faster than a half-price bikini car wash. I'm so tender.
Right
so
Brand Bacon. Bigger, better bacon. Find out more at Bigger, Better.
With sunshine across the area through the day today, we head up to 97 for a high with a northeast wind developing at 5 to 10. With partly cloudy skies tonight, there's a spotty chance for a storm with a low at 67. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now it's 84.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation of the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Sarah Walls getting all jacked up to go to the first Husker game this weekend because she was the season ticket winner from the Midway Auto Dealerships via their Facebook page this summer. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. You can check out their entire inventory at thinkmidway.com. Maybe you're looking for that bright red car or truck to fit in for the Husker season, or if you're a Loper or Bronco fan, find the appropriate color and get it all ready to go. They have over 114 vehicles in stock, some starting at under $16,000. If you're in the truck market, they still have a few 2013 Silverados on the lot. You can save up to $11,000 or a 2013 Ram up to $8,800 off. Think Midway. It's a better way. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Jimmy, you might even need one of those to pull your stock trailer as you're getting around in the rodeo season.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be doing that. How do you know I was getting involved in that rodeo?
Involved in everything. I think you could score and judge rodeo just as good as you ref baseball or ump baseball, ref football and basketball. And this weekend, and it has been going on now for 21 years, this is the 21st anniversary of the Oregon Trail Rodeo in Hastings at the Adams County Fairground. Begins at 7 o'clock tonight and tomorrow. And then on Sunday, they'll get going at the same time. All kinds of events going on. And we are pleased to welcome Trellette Bauer with us. He is in a variety of the events. He's out of Goodwell, Oklahoma, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Cowboy. How you doing?
Oh, doing good, sir. And you?
Well, we're doing great. Always like to talk a little rodeo. It's that time of the year, 21 years coming up to Hastings. I know you've been a part of this, and you're going to be a busy guy. How's the season going for you?
It's been pretty good. Can't complain anyway. I've got along pretty good this summer. Won the Bulldog in the Greeley Stampede, and then did some good at Cheyenne and the Calf Open, so it's just coming back or won out this year last week in the Bronc Ride, so it's been pretty good.
I always like to hear that. Sometimes athletes go, a little up, a little down, but things are going great for Trell. And how much season is left for you right now?
Just about a couple more weeks. Or kind of the end of September is the cutoff date for. Or that would be the cutoff date for the world standings, and then this week is actually would be the last week for circuit rodeos or for the circuit standings. So Hastings is one of the last rodeos to count for the circuit standings.
Now Jimmy Langan, my co-host here, he's not you've seen rodeos, you've been to rodeos, but tell folks, Trell, how you can get some folks out to see what I call the new age of rodeo, because back in the day, six cowboys or cowgirls were trying to jump in a truck and make as many
events as they could each and every week. How have things changed, and what's different than maybe our dad's rodeo was?
There's still a lot of it that's quite a bit the same. You know, you still got a bunch of people traveling together. Just kind of depends on the events. You know, like all your rough stock guys, there's usually three or four of them guys that travel together. But as far as like, you know, like your cattle and stuff, like times are probably a lot faster now than what they used to be. Cattle have gotten smaller. You know, like back a long time ago, they used to rope big cattle, and that's, you know, a lot of the calf ropers and stuff, you know, they would leg them instead of flanking them. And so now it's, you know, now you see a lot of 7-8 second runs and stuff. And the bulldog too, cattle are smaller, so times are a lot faster and stuff.
Hey, Trail, Jim Langen here. I've got a question for you. Every time somebody would talk about the rodeo, I want to know about your injuries. I mean, every time I go out there, just no way would I look at that somebody could come out of that. You know, they get knocked down, they get up against the wall, a big bull falls on them, whatever that thing might be, and then they get up and they run around. There's no way everybody's okay. Tell me about some of the injuries you've had in your career.
Yeah. Well, I was injury-free, I guess, until 3 years ago, and that's I've tore my groin. Then here 3 years ago, I dislocated a bone in my wrist and tore the ligaments in it. Had three surgeries on it, and then got that healed up. And then I fractured my lower back and ruptured a disc. And then here just this last year, I kind of tore my knee up a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. No big deal.
Just a little bit. That's pretty minor compared to some of the, you know, I don't like to talk about mine because mine aren't that bad, but you get some of them bull riders and them guys, they've had a lot of injuries.
Hey, I'm just going to tell you this. A broke back and a ruptured disc, we consider that on our show to be a severe injury. just for the record, that would count as a severe injury.
Yeah, it is, but I mean, it's still... you know, it's something that I can still, it didn't end my career, I guess, you know, and so I'm, you know, I'm pretty thankful for that. But, you know, when you rodeo, you know, you go out there and you know there's a chance of you getting hurt. I mean, it's not like you're going out there and, you know, not expecting to get hurt. You know, you don't want to get hurt, but you know, eventually it's going to happen sometime. But you just got to pray every day, you know, that the good Lord takes care of you and just be thankful for getting to do what you love to do.
Talking with Trail Bauer out of Goodwill, Oklahoma. He'll be competing in the Saturday night portion of the Oregon Trails Rodeo in Hastings. Right now, he's ranked second in the all-around, fifth in the steer wrestling, sixth in the tie-down roping for the Prairie Circuit. Explain to the fans what the Prairie Circuit is.
Like, you have your world standings, and that counts for all your rodeos. And then out of the United States, they break it up into 12 circuits. And so, like, the Prairie Circuit would be all the rodeos in Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska, and then plus some like in Texas that are along the border or along the state lines and stuff. And so they break the United States up into 12 circuits, and that's where we're in the Prairie Circuit. And so all them rodeos that go on in them three states count for your Prairie Circuit standings. And so then they have a circuit finals, so they take the top 12 in each event to the circuit finals, and then they'll take the year-end winner and the average winner onto the Dodge National Finals, which is held in Oklahoma City. And that's where all the circuits come together and compete for, usually it's a Dodge truck. So,
hey, I got a question for you again. I know you're married to, I think her name's Kaylee maybe, and she's involved in the rodeo, but I see she only does one event, and you do three events. Now, the way I look at that, that'd be two and two, but, I mean, you're doing three. Why do you choose to do three? I mean, is it lucrative? Is it good for the cash?
A lot of it is, like, my dad and uncles are really known for their bronc riding and stuff, but really, when they were younger, they worked every event. That's whenever I was in high school, you know, I kind of worked every event, and so I just kind of got into college and did it all and, you know, was successful at it. And so I just decided to keep working them because, you know, it's just, I don't have, you know, one week my bulldogging might be really good. And you know, I'll win a bunch of checks in the bulldog. Well, then the next week, I won't win nothing in the bulldog and the calf rope will be good. So just kind of, and I've always done it that way. I've tried to go just in one event, but it kind of, Oh, I guess it's, I do better, I think, whenever I'm entered in more events, because then I don't have time to think about stuff. I just react kind of more. I get to thinking too much if I'm just in one, I think. And
good answer. So, good. And plus, I think the paychecks, you get, like you said, you explained that to me really well. You know, just in case one doesn't go well, at least you got a paycheck to get on the way home or get to Texas to the next rodeo.
Yeah, the only thing bad about that's an Ofer night, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not a very fun ride home whenever I didn't do any good that night.
Well, I don't think that's happened very often for Terrell, because he's won the Lindemann Award three consecutive years from 2008 to 2010. That goes to the cowboy with the most money in three events, and he's up for it again this year. Talk about that award, and actually, how many cowboys would you say take that path that you have? How many guys would you be going up against for that award?
Well, there's a lot of guys capable of it. You know, there's Taos Muncy, that's won the world in the saddle bronc ride, and I went to college with him. That's he rips calves and team rips real good. I mean, he can do it. And Court Shearer from Ellesmere, Nebraska, he's real capable too. But they don't make it easy to work both ends of the arena like that. So that's what a lot of guys, I mean, they kind of take their best event, they focus on that. I've always loved working three events, and so that's kind of what, I mean, there's probably me and then Kyle Whitaker, and then Bobby Moe. He's been working the bareback riding and team roping, but he just does two events. But there's just, I mean, shoot, oh, I guess me and Kyle are about the only ones that kind of really do it, you know, quite a bit. But there's other guys that'll go for it too. So it's just kind of, you don't really know how you're sitting until the end of the standings or until the end of the year.
Just a last minute here with Terrell Etbauer, who's going to be at the Oregon Trail Rodeo in Hastings. He's there Saturday. It goes on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Of course, rodeo fans know the family history here. His dad was the world champion saddle bronc rider, and his uncle's a five-time PRCA world champion saddle bronc rider. But the thing that's interesting here is your uncle gave you a pretty unique wedding gift. Tell the fans about that, and did he wrap it up?
I had a horse that my grandpa raised up in South Dakota, and my grandpa used to raise a bunch of horses, and he gave all of his grandkids a horse, and I had that horse all through high school and college and clear until whenever I started going to pro rodeos, and he was my all-time favorite horse. And my Uncle Billy, he had a sister to that horse, and then Billy has a stud too. Well, he bred that mare, and then this horse, which is related to that old calf horse of mine, but they look identical or almost like twins, and that's what whenever we got married, he gave him to me for a wedding present, and he's been, that's what I rode. I just started hauling him this year, and that's why I rode at Cheyenne there and made the short go there at Cheyenne on him, and he's been one of the best gifts I've ever had anyway.
That's pretty special right there, and you use corduroy to this day. And I guess the last thing I want to ask you, just kind of getting back to giving back, you'll be riding on Saturday night, which is tough enough to wear pink night, which they have done for years here with every fan that wears pink to the rodeo, $1 donated to the Morrison Cancer Center at Mary Lanning Memorial Hospital. Plus, there will be more contributions to the fund. Do you got a big pink shirt to wear on Saturday?
Well, that's what I was just going to correct. I'm actually up tonight.
Oh, okay.
And everything, but yeah, I usually carry a pink shirt with me for them rodeos like that and stuff.
Well, we sure appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. And again, we will see you tonight at the Oregon Trail Rodeo in Hastings. Terrell, thanks so much for the time. Best of luck tonight and throughout the rest of your season. Thanks for the time.
Oh, thank you, guys. You guys have a good one.
You too.
Good luck and stay injury-free.
All right, will do.
There you go. Oh, you know, we still like Oklahomans here in Nebraska. From Goodwill, Oklahoma, Terrell Etbauer joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So my notes said Saturday, but remember, he'll be there Friday. Just one of the many athletes to watch. Again, 7 o'clock tonight, Saturday, and Sunday. And they've also got their Tough Enough to Run with the Bulls run that's going to come up Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Go to Adams County Fairground for more information. AdamsCountyFairground.com to find out what's going on. And how about this? For the kids, there's going to be a stick horse grand entry each night at 7 o'clock. So, you know, the pageantry that goes with the horses and the flags and the music. Bring your kids, stick horses. It'll be fun. Go to AdamsCountyFairgrounds.com. Coming up, Dick Beecher is going to talk Nebraska High School Hall of Fame. Mike Perenio from the Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook in Las Vegas. Our Pigskin Pick'em initial and inaugural 2013 selections, plus Husker predictions for Wyoming and the weekend. Stay with us.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill in Hastings. We have the bar ready to go, the new menus are on the table, and now we're ready to staff the place for a busy summer. We're now taking applications for all positions, including front of the house and back of the house. No experience necessary, just bright, shiny faces. We're looking for the staff just as fun as we are. Apply in person at HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Okay, listen, kickoff is in about 15 minutes. I've got some medium rare burgers that are ready to go.
Oh, this really is a fantastic barbecue.
Yeah, a little more people than we were expecting, though.
I'll have medium well. I'm happy to wait.
Okay, baby, we are officially out of burgers.
Okay, you know half of these people haven't even eaten yet. Wait, is that a police helicopter?
They might have received some complaints. There's quite a traffic jam in the cul-de-sac, my friend.
Attention, this is the police. Do you have any of those brats with the habanero and chicken apple sausage? Put two in the basket and back away slowly. Pretty please.
Everyone's a fan when you grill for game day with Kingsford Charcoal. Don't forget the Kingsford Charcoal and everything else you'll need to throw the ultimate game day tailgate party in your backyard. Available at Walmart for a low price every day.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
With sunshine across the area through the day today, we head up to 97 for a high with a northeast wind developing at 5 to 10. With partly cloudy skies tonight, there's a spotty chance for a storm with a low at 67. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 84.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Friday. It is tailgate time if you're heading down to the Huskers, or whether it's a Loper or a Bronco home game, or you're just going out to a high school facility, whatever it is, football is here. So that means it's tailgate time, and Troutman's Quality Meats is your tailgate headquarters. Fresh, hot Italian brats, the cherry bomb brats, freshly made today by Carrie and the gang. Polish dogs, summer sausage, hot brats, and state fair brats. Grab some Troutman's buns for your dogs and burgers. These buns are big and won't break down. We hate that when your food falls on the ground at a tailgate. Then you don't make sure nobody's looking. You grab it and eat it anyway. But perfect for chili cheese dogs. And maybe you want to do a little steak, barbecue, beans, beer, and wine all there for you. You can have steak at a tailgate. You can have barbecue, beans at a tailgate. Obviously, you're going to have some beers and wines. And don't forget, with this extended Labor Day weekend, there's plenty of chances to grill out and have a great, great meal. Troutman's, always a large selection of fresh and smoked sausage, USDA Choice certified Angus beef, and their quality steaks are aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. It doesn't get any better than Troutman's Quality Meats. Stop in today. See Carrie and the gang open 6 days a week for you. Highway 30 here in Kearney. Jimmy, we welcome in Dick Buechner with the Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame. Just like every other co-host I believe I've had on this show, you also are not in the Hall of Fame.
or will I be getting there?
Well, in his own mind, he probably should be, don't you think, Doug?
I think all of us. I think there's not a person that played any sport in Nebraska that goes, hey, now how far does it have to go for me to get in? You know, how low does it have to go? Because it's not like I'm going to improve on anything.
Well, if you hadn't quit coaching, you might have a chance.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dick, what do you think he's closest in? As an official, a contributor, a coach? I mean,
school administrator.
Yeah.
Maybe. Rodeo.
Rodeo knowledge.
A lot of things.
I'm far from the rodeo, and I'm not going to go there on that one either.
Well, let's jump into a lot of things that are going on. First off, Dick, let's talk about, we're about ready to see some significant, you've got a spot, and now it's getting neat to be undone.
Right. I think that's the biggest news that we've got going right now. The Hall of Fame has been organized since 1994, and for a long time, the board of directors wanted to have something physical that people could come into and see what's going on in the Hall of Fame. So a year ago, we opened the first phase, which was a hallway there in the NSAA building in Lincoln, and we put up all the plaques of anybody that we've ever honored. And there's a difference between being honored and being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And so now we have a second phase, which includes really three things. One, the Hall of Honor, and all the inductees will be enshrined in that beautiful room. We've got a newsletter going out, and it's going to be an oval room, and the chronological people will be displayed like a war memorial. We'll have two large TV screens there. You can go to our website and pick up the name, and the bio will come up, and so... That's something that I think is the main highlight of the Hall of Fame. Also, the Wally McNaught Theater. We're going to have a 15-minute to 18-minute orientation film. Nebraska Educational Television is doing that, and I've seen the preview, and I think we're all going to be happy with that. The main theme is we want to feel good about being a Nebraskan, and I think that we convey that, much like Iowa has done over there at their Hall of Fame. And the third part of Phase 2 is an all-school kiosk. And there were seven individuals that wrote a book called Seven Pages of History. And each school in Nebraska has been highlighted in one page. And the only thing bad with that is that ended in 1995. And there's been a lot of reconsolidation. Yeah. New schools like North Star and Lincoln and Southwest. But we're working on bringing that up to date. Then the fourth thing that we're doing, so we won't have to come back in and have a lot of dust and so forth, we're putting down flooring like easy turf for football, baseball, and softball, maple for volleyball and basketball, and a tartan surf for track, cross country, golf, tennis, wrestling, and so forth. But we hope to open the first week in October. That's kind of tentative right now because you never know how contractors are going to react. But this is something that's been on the burner for quite a while, and we get phase two done, and then phase three will be taking care of the exhibits for every sport. And that's going to be a big job, and we need a curator. Since Langdon's out of work, he could probably come in as a curator and tell us what we really need to do. But we did have several groups meet over the last 4 or 5 years of coaches in Nebraska that have coached sports, and they had a day-long brainstorming session, and they jotted down the things that they thought would be appropriate for each sport. So let's take golf, for example. Probably the best-known high schooler in Nebraska is probably Johnny Goodman, but this day and age, nobody knows who Johnny Goodman was. And by the way, at golf, I think that Phil Mickelson birdied 7 out of the first 9 holes today in that tournament, which is pretty impressive.
Red hot.
But anyway, then you'd go to football, and there's been a lot of outstanding people along the way, and we'll highlight those. But one of the things that we really want to do is try to change the venue up so we'll get people to come back. And that's been the problem with the archway out here. One time you see it, you won't go back. So we need to profit from their error and be able to change up the venue or bring some outside traveling exhibits along, like Louisville Slugger, maybe like Riddell, things that people might be interested in. So we're excited about it. The board's excited about it. We've raised enough money to do phase one and phase two, and we're still raising money. And we really think that once we get this place open, people will come in and see what we're trying to do and maybe lend their dollars to help us out.
Dick Beecher is with us here from the Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame. Now, this year's induction ceremony will be Sunday, September 15th. The ceremony begins at 1:30. Social hours noon to 1:30. You can find out more from the Nebraska Sports Council, and we'll get into that as well. But there's a lot of names on this list. Sometimes there's a lot. Sometimes there's not so many. I think there was more this year that I recognize or are from this area, all the way from the folks that are eligible. You have to be out 15 years. You've got Nicole Kubik from Cambridge. You got Matt Davison, who everybody knows. Michelle Cush, a lot of Gibbon connection that we'll get to. Coaches like Tom McCann, Dennis Troster from Southwest, Gene Sir, who was one of my teachers back in the day in Ord, but made his name at Papillion. So a lot of good ones out there, and I'm sure there's a couple here.
So you have an advantage over me because I'm getting too old to recognize some of these people. But I think the thing about this year's class, and I personally believe that it's wonderful that we have a lot of multi-sport athletes. Yeah. And this day and age, it's difficult for people to participate in all sports for one reason or another. But most of these people have been outstanding in volleyball, basketball, track, softball. You mentioned Sewer. His daughter Lee is going in. She was a multi-sport athlete, but in college she played softball. And Kubik played basketball in Nebraska. But in high school, I mean, they let her 12 times, which is pretty impressive. And we don't find very many 12-letter persons anymore. And I think it's all for the wrong reason. I think they're missing the greatest days of their life in terms of participating in high school sports. But the pressure of thinking they're going to get a scholarship or the other coach feels like they need to work 12 months out of the year, I don't know. I think some of our injuries probably occur from lack of rest. I mean, a volleyball player that plays 12 months out of the year bound to have rotator cuff problems sooner or later, you know, unless they're ambidextrous and they go from the right side to the left side, Doug.
Yeah, Jimmy, you know that what that word means?
Yeah, I do.
I wish he could.
Fifth grade vocabulary, but I did get that one.
I wish he could use either arm as he gives signals in basketball. It's always the right arm. If you get his left arm up sometime when he's on the other side of the court, that might be helpful.
Yeah, I'm pretty much right-handed. There's no way. I eat with my right. I've had a lot of success eating spaghetti with my right hand. I'm just going to stay with it.
What do you think? You know, you personally know some of these folks too, Jimmy and the Gibbon. We had Coach Bleach on when this was announced this spring. They're going to be the silver anniversary team. They're going to have one of the great moments in sports. You've crossed paths with a few of these folks.
Well, yeah, I mean, and the thing of it is, you know, I look at Nicole Kubik and I think, hey, you know, what a great athlete. And I wonder how she feels, because I think they had a 73-game winning streak, and I happened to officiate the game where they lost that 73-game winning streak. So, you know, I'm thinking, maybe I just won't go talk to Nicole. And then, you know, I've refereed Matt Davidson when he was in the Wood River Holiday Tournament. You know, I never had him when he was playing, you know, the Missouri-Nebraska game or anything big like that.
But before you go on, I think maybe Davidson might have been a better basketball player than he was football player. From what I've understood, he's gotten a lot of mileage out of the catch down in Columbia in football. But I think if we were to ask him, that he might have preferred basketball and was really a good high school player.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that in football, you know, there's 100 players on the team and maybe 35 that are going to contribute a lot. In basketball, there might be 6, 7, maybe 8 guys deep, and that's all it goes. So, you know, if you're sitting there 9, 10, or 11, sometimes you're not recognized. Where in football, you will at least get to be on the field and make a play. And in basketball, you don't even have that opportunity because you're sitting. But Matt did play for the Huskers. You know, he did go out.
No.
And he walked on and tried to play for about a month there. You know, they were in a jam and just, hey, let's me bring him on and let him go. Yes,
right.
We played. So you are right about Matt Davidson in basketball. And then, you know, you're talking about the Gibbon girls. You know, I was coaching at Ravan at that time. In fact, at one time we were like, our boys were like 19-1, and we played Adams Central, and they were like 19-1, and we played like the third place game because we both got upset the night before. And, hey, the place was packed, but not for our game. The Gibbon girls were playing Centura's girls, and everybody was there for that deal. You know, so it was kind of a...
Well, that great moment in sport involves Gibbon, and it's hard to believe what can happen in 9 seconds. I mean, you see a lot of basketball, Jim. But what happened in that game, they're down, what, five points, I believe. And within 9 seconds, they hit a three-pointer, and they steal the inbounds and go down and she gets fouled and makes the free throw, and they win the game.
That poor Bergen girl, it just went they bounce, and if I remember it right, it went right between her teammate's legs, and I think maybe it was Cush that picked it up, and you're right, scored it, and of course she's going in, as we said, as well.
So, yeah, you know, kind of what happened on that play, they hit a three,
right,
and the clock's running.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're out of timeout, so the clock's running, and the girl could have waited the whole 5 seconds to throw it in, but did not. When she panicked, the ball was on the floor. They didn't foul her when she was shooting. The girl was just trying to get the ball. And, you know, hey, in hindsight, just let it go.
Right.
The ball's underneath the bang board. There's one second to go, you know. But, yeah, so you're right. Sometimes you win those games and those miracle finishes, but you got to have some help from the other team. They got to do some things to help
and
you
that
out.
Great moment's only for one side.
Yeah,
it's not
the other side.
Yeah, that's right. Talking about great moments, you know, Nebraska's opening against Wyoming. Yeah. I think in 76, 77, I think a Washington State football team came into Lincoln about an 18-point dog in about that year and came in and beat Nebraska. Who was on some of the people on that coaching staff? Do you know?
No, I don't know any of them. But anyway, that was an unbelievable win. And Warren Powers, we were out there, and John Feynman was there. He's going into the Hall of Fame. He'd come from Omaha South. But the people on that staff, Mike Price went on to El Paso. We went to Weber State. We had Mark Heidorf that played at Nebraska. We had Zavin Nerelian that played at Nebraska. We had Dave Redding was our strength coach, who ended up with the Green Bay Packers as a strength coach. Richie Glover was on that staff. But Warren did an unbelievable job of making everybody believe we could beat Nebraska. And we did, but the thing that lots of people don't understand, we inherited an awful lot of good football players at Washington State. Jim Sweeney had been the coach that recruited all those players, and they had an incident over at the University of Washington 4 years prior to when we came in, and he recruited a lot of outstanding players from the west side, including Jack Thompson, who was a heck of a quarterback.
He was the throwing Samoan, was that right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's 19-10, if Harvey was here from Lexington, we threw two posts on him that day, and we were very fortunate. We were on a one-yard line, and Lance Van Zandt was a defensive coordinator for Nebraska, and sometimes your personality comes out in what you call. So he brought everybody inside, and we broke a run outside. We were running the veer at the time, and we got the ball out the 50-yard line. A few plays later, we scored. But that was some kind of game. But I think off that team, Jim, we had at least 10 people that played in the NFL, which that doesn't mean that you have a good team, but you had good athletes. And that season, we opened with Nebraska. The next week, we went to Michigan State, and we beat Michigan State. Kirk Gibson was a wide receiver. That was a lot of fun. Then we went to KU the next week and got beat the last play of the game, 15-14. I'm not sure that field goal was good, but
I didn't ref that game.
And the next week we played UCLA in Spokane and got beat pretty bad. And then 2 weeks later we played Southern Cal down there. And as we entered the field down the tunnel, they played the death march. And so that was tough duty. The White Horse was worn out the first half. They scored quite a few times because they circled the field every time they scored. Anyway, the Hall of Fame, this is our 20th anniversary. We're excited about the class. You mentioned Tom McCann locally. Tom did an outstanding job at Kearney. I just can't believe he only won one state championship, but he was runner-up 7 or 8 times and did a great job. So we're happy about it. As you said, you got to be out 15 years. A person that I've got to know a little bit over the years is Reggie Smith from up at West Point. This coached out at Dunning for a long time. He started out at Nebraska and finished at Wayne, but he was an outstanding high school football player at West Point. But Bill Hawkins was a classmate of mine at Nebraska from Beatrice. He lettered 10 or 12 times at Beatrice, played football at Nebraska, also was a big 6 or big 7 hurdle champion. So we've got an outstanding class, as you mentioned, going in this year.
And folks, again, the ceremony is Sunday, September 15th at the Lead Center in Lincoln. Check out the Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame online, and there's ways to contribute to the hall. And, of course,
The Sports Council, Doug, they're still handling our tickets. If people want, they may go ahead and contact info@nebraska.com. sportsconsole.com or call them on the phone, 402-471-2544. Or tickets are available at the door. The doors open at 12 o'clock at the Lead Center. It's a nice venue. We're working hard to try and reduce the time that we spend because 2 hours is adequate, but it's gone over that time. I have found that athletes have played for guys like Jim and so forth. If they never thank them, that's one opportunity they can thank them for what they have done to help them have a better life. And as far as we're talking about a better life, sportsmanship has become a thing that we want to promote, especially in middle schools. And we had our first rally last year at Waverly. We're going to again hook up with the Life Skills Group at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln this year. And we will have a rally in conjunction with the University of Nebraska women's basketball game against UCLA on November 8th. So we're excited about that. And as you know, sportsmanship is really important in sports. I have never seen them look at the NFL players for taunting like they have this year, Jim, in some of the preseason games. And I think it's only correct. It's not all about myself as a football player. If you make a tackle, 10 other guys had to do their job before you can make that tackle. So anyway.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. I mean, if you had a Grand Slam home run, three other guys got on base, and I guarantee you had nothing to do with that.
No question about it.
Your ability, maybe they walk somebody to get to you because they'd rather pitch to you. But you're exactly right. And I've been. It's so selfish. It's so selfish when somebody scores a touchdown and they forget about the other 10 guys that did something for them, and they're out there celebrating, and they do something to cause a 15-yard penalty and may cost their team a game.
In the same way in basketball, Jim, somebody's got to make the pass to the guy's going to shoot the ball. It's not all about the guy shooting. Somebody else did something very positive to allow you to score the basket.
Dick, we're out of time. I always appreciate our chats. Anytime you want to come in. Again, folks, if you're looking for the Hall of Fame, it's right there in the NSAA building by Haymarket Park in the softball complex in Lincoln. So check that out. We can't wait to get another great class into the Hall of Fame.
No question about it, guys. Thanks for your time. And I know you're entering a very busy season, and everybody enjoys your broadcasting.
Well, thanks, Dick. Appreciate it so much. Dick Buechner with the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame. Coming up, we have got Pigskin Pick'em, our Husker predictions, and we've even got a little Husker news about who's coming in recruiting-wise in our TNL update. And we'll do all that in just a moment. But right now, we go out to Las Vegas. Mike Perenio is standing by to talk a little NFL and college football. Mike, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, joined today by Jim Langan. How are you, man?
How you guys doing?
Well,
good to hear, Dick. My class of 77 football teams in that Hall of Fame, so what a good guy to have on.
See, how great is that? Small world, Dick Meacher on. Mike Perenio knows Dick Meacher.
Did you go to Southeast High School?
Yeah.
Southeast 77, hey, Frank Solich, coach.
Hey, did you know a really good friend of mine is Tim Hager, who lives in Fort Collins, Colorado?
Of course I know Tim.
God, there you go.
Best wide receiver probably that I saw at Southeast.
No,
he could do everything. He could play quarterback. He could do everything. So. Yeah.
Man, I feel like I could just sit back and listen to the stories today because we've had a lot of good ones already on the Doug and Daddy Show. And that, you know what, the guys that are getting ready and gals, whatever the sport is, they're gonna make some stories as well. And I got a question right off the bat here because I think I know the answer, but I want to double check. Folks were asking last night when that lightning delay hit in the North Carolina-South Carolina game, what's the rule if you've got a ticket and the game is not completed, Mike?
Well, we'd like the rule to be if you won, you lost, and if you lost, you lost. But the actual house rules, the game has to go 55 minutes. So when it was at 8 minutes, it was going to be no action for a while. So, and it took a long time for them to make up that, start it up again. So we don't like those kind of games. Puts us in a bad position with customers and customer service. And, you know, we try to display house rules on everything because you guys know the sports betting, there's all kinds of things that happen. I don't know if you remember the Seattle-Green Bay game last year, on the last play where one of the downtown casinos decided to pay the game, although I think they had a total of $500 bet. But usually it was worth $1 million publicity. But usually the house rules are posted and on big signs on the wall. But, you know, when you're in Vegas having fun, you're not reading the signs on the wall.
Hey, Jim Lyon here, question real quick. Is the over-under, has it got a separate rule about the 55 minutes, or does the game have to go the whole game for the over-under, or is it just 55?
No, it does. If it doesn't count as a game, it doesn't count as a game. So
okay, you bet.
It could already be over.
It could already be the over. You know, so your ticket's good.
Wow, that's one. Thanks, Jimmy. That's one thing that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, that's
thanks for that bit of information. Let's get into
the same thing. I'm sorry. The same thing happens like on baseball games. You know, if you don't get the if you bet the over under, it's got to go the full 8.5 or 9 innings. The over under is no good either.
Folks, don't forget we've got our Husker predictions and pigskin pick 'em coming up. 9.5, is that what Big Red has finished up at as the total this year?
You know what, we decided not to post that one. That's the general consensus in Vegas, but we're pretty selective about over unders that we put out in college football. Of course, right now we took off A&M for a little while anyway, although there might not be any repercussions to the school because they've kind of come clean and said this is it, there'll be no more punishment. But if something else comes out, they could end up forfeiting all their games he played. So we'll wait and see on that. But, yeah, we didn't post it, but it's about 9.5 most places.
Let's get to what our fans really like. The Mike Perenio, not 3-1 favorite. What do you got for him this week?
You know what? There's some good stuff I probably should talk to you about. You were talking over-unders. There's, you know, I liked Atlanta earlier in the year for the NFL championship. I've kind of decided, after kind of looking at offensive lines and everybody's put together, coaches coming to certain teams, I've decided the Cleveland Browns look like a pretty good shot in the NFL. Right now we got them at 80-1. It was 100-1. They got Norv Turner up there and I think Richardson, that running back. They really don't have a backup. He's like a key fantasy football guy if you can get that guy, because unless he gets hurt, he's going to run the ball almost exclusively. Along that same line, Cleveland Browns, they opened up at 5.5 wins. They're 6 wins now. The juice is a little high on the 6, but I think that's probably a gift. I don't see how they can't win. Even if they don't make it to the playoffs, I think they win 9 games, and maybe at the worst 8. So that seems like a good one out here on the regular season NFL wins.
Yeah, you're right. I think it's like 100 to win like 76 or something like that on the juice.
It's minus 175, so you're going to bet 175 to win 100.
Right.
But, you know, if they move it to 6.5, the juice will go back down.
But if you can get that push at 6, then you can sit back and just watch those last 3 games.
Like that's a pretty good wager. You know, you don't know with injuries, and even though Whedon looked good in the preseason, when the real games start, is he going to be as good as he's been in the preseason? But they've really improved their offense and defensive lines. Their defense is solid anyway. You know, they're a team that I've seen when the Ravens were good and physical and stuff. They were actually just as physical as them, and that bodes well if they can stay healthy.
Mike Perenio, race and sportsbook director and czar at the Mandalay Bay, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. I will just have to forewarn you, Michael, that probably at about 10 o'clock your time next Thursday, we will be making our Super Bowl predictions here on the show, and you will probably see some changing in the lines out there at the Mandalay Bay, since I correctly predicted the Super Bowl last year on opening day. So we've already got folks waiting with bated breath for this year's prediction.
Well, I'd really appreciate it if you called me before the show and let me know who it was so I could just drop that line real quick.
Hey, we'll do that for you.
I'm always in for a little, you know, a little whatever it takes, you know. Come out there and have some fun at the Mandalay Bay.
I'll make it worth your while.
Let's take a look at some of those Week 1 games for you, Michael. What do you see out there?
You know what? The NFL, first of all, it's been crazy with the college football. I mean, some of those games last night, that Vanderbilt game, I mean, what a way to start out the season with all these amazing college football games. It's you forget how much fun it is and how good it is and how much fun people have and how much they enjoy being out here in Vegas, because it was crazy last night. The first week of the NFL is going to be even crazier, and we're hoping for a big crowds, and we always do. And then the second week of the NFL is the same week as the Mayweather and Canelo fight, and people say that's going to be the biggest fight in the history of Las Vegas, which, and we know how good ones we've had before. The season opens up with Baltimore and Denver, and surprisingly, Denver's an 8-point favorite over the defending champions. I know they, Baltimore got rid of a lot of people. It seems like to me that more than a touchdown, even with the losses Baltimore had, they've replaced some people on defense. Their defense is still going to be very good. 8 points seems like a ton of points for an opening day game. And, of course, you know me, if it has a plus sign behind it, 90% of the time I'm going to take that plus side. And then, of course, I think the Cleveland Browns, who I mentioned, are going to be really good this year, open up at home against Miami. And I think they should win that game. It's a pick 'em right now.
Good. That's a good one. Hey, I got one for you. Last year, SMU beat Fresno in the bowl game and beat them really handily. I'm going to say they beat them like 43-7 or 43-10. I mean, SMU just looked really good. And I thought Texas Tech closed out the season poorly. They had to come from behind and luckily beat Minnesota in their bowl game. And I see where SMU's getting 5.5. Do you like SMU at all or not?
Yeah, as long as they're plus. The home games, especially the first home games, even in the NFL, where they're really professional about whether they're home or away, it doesn't seem to make as much a difference as college. But with the crowds in college being fanatical, in certain schools it's more, of course, like Nebraska, the home field advantage is tremendous. But the first game always is, for any football game, is always the home team has a little more advantage than they will on a home game, you know, two or three home games down the road. And so that, you know, that makes a big difference on the home field advantage. But plus points, you can't really go wrong. Only team I hesitate to lay a lot of go against is someone like Alabama or Ohio State, and when they have poor matchups against teams, because, you know, with the BCS, the way it is, at least for this year until the playoff system starts, there, and even maybe after that, there's no mercy anymore in college football as far as running up scores.
Mike Perenio with us for just another minute from the Mandalay Bay on the Doug and Daddy Show. Just for the fans out there, any inkling on some of the big games this week? Alabama, Virginia Tech, Georgia, Clemson, LSU, TCU is a close line, Boise State, Washington close line, even Penn State going on the road to Syracuse.
Yeah, that LSU game just seems, be honest with you, the dogs in all those games seem like good plays. The only team, like I said, the very elite teams, when they play Alabama, you know, in Ohio State's and maybe even Oregon's, I don't mind laying some points once in a while, but it's still the underdog. It's so hard to pull the trigger. I've been doing this for a long time. If you just look at games, you always go, boy, I like Alabama, and then you see, well, they're minus 14, you know, what's that mean? Everybody likes the favorite. That's why they're the favorite to start with, and it takes a lot of discipline, and you're better off just passing games than playing favorites.
Mike, you mentioned the fight for the folks that are coming out. They've been keeping busy. I know we've had a lot of folks rolling out to Vegas. What's going on? What can you tell them about?
You know what? We talk on and off, and we've got the new show here at Mandalay Bay called MJ1, Michael Jackson's Cirque du Soleil Show. And I'm not a homer, so let me tell you, it's just the best show in Vegas, period, right now. And the technology, holograms, sound system, it's unbelievable. I have people that are requesting going to the show two or three times already, and it hasn't been open that long. They just want to see it over and over again. So, and along with that, we have a new nightclub. So you guys get down here. Got a Cirque du Soleil and Light nightclub. It's the biggest one in Las Vegas. They have Cirque du Soleil acts in the nightclub. It's unbelievable. And they have a day club, too, out at the pool. So as good as we were before, we are another 10 times better all of a sudden just because of the additions we've made to the hotel. And this fight coming up on September 14th, it's at one of our sister properties, MGM, but we're doing closed circuit here. And when you go to closed circuit here, it's on, you know, 30-foot HD screens. You know, I have guys tell me they'd rather go to these closed circuit events because it's so crisp and clear, and you don't have to fight thousands of people getting in and out of the fight. But we got every possible bet you want to make on the fights too. This for that. I heard Alvarez was a little overweight and having a problem losing pounds. So,
and who isn't?
Yeah, he's a 22-year-old guy. You know, that I think it was like 30 pounds, and it's 2 weeks away. So he might not be playing. That fight will probably still go, but they'll probably won't let him fight for the title if he can't drop that weight. Because that's and they'll fine him a purse money quite a bit too. So I'm kind of waiting to see what happens with that.
Well, Michael, as always, we appreciate the chats on Friday on the Doug and Daddy Show, and hopefully we can do it a whole bunch again during this football season. It's always fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys, and come out here. I welcome all your listeners. We have them stop by all the time from the Doug and Daddy Show. We had some guys from Minden last week out here playing some horses, and we treat them, especially the horse players, I'll treat them with the comps when they play horses, and they always treat them for as much as I can just because they're your listeners.
Well, I'll guarantee you that is a true statement because I went out there and told you about it, and you guys, I didn't pay for hardly anything. In fact, I did not pay for anything, and I think I got a couple free tickets to the fight. I really appreciate it, too. So,
hey, don't promise everything.
No. I'm looking for 4 tickets to that new fight. Could you give me a free $72 bet on the pick six?
Yeah.
No cash rebate.
Michael, thanks so much. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Mike Perenio from the Mandalay Bay here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Pigskin Pick'em is moments away, our Husker predictions, but the new depth chart is out, and there's nothing here that's surprising because there's 14 ors. And by or, we mean who's the backup quarterback? Well, you've got on the depth chart Taylor Martinez and then the backup quarterback Ron Kellogg or Tommy Armstrong. The kicker, Pat Smith, or Mauro Bondi. There's nothing different here, folks. There is nothing different. So let's give you a little TNL recruiting update brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. Husker Online confirming that official visitor Rowan Blackwood is going to be on, 3-star defensive, and also some unofficial visitors are expected to come in, like DJ Foster, Luke Gifford, Mick Stoltenberg, your Nebraska boys, Freedom, the tight end. We can't pronounce his last name. Akin Moladen. We'll go with that. Tanner Farmer is going to be there. Quarterback Brooke Bowles. Austin Rose, a 2-star running back who has not committed. Even some guys from 2015, like Eric Lee, who already has a Nebraska offer, is expected to be in town. A good weekend, the first 2 weekends with the kickoff time the way it is for the kids to come in for their either official but many unofficial visitors this weekend for the Huskers. That's your TNL Husker recruiting update brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. A couple of things on the special teams. Punt returners will be Jamal Turner and Terrell Newby, the freshman. Newby is actually listed as the third string I-back ahead of King Frazier and behind Amani Cross. Sam Foltz is officially listed as your starting punter from Grand Island. No surprise, but it is official now. Kickoff returns Kenny Bell and Terrell Newby will start in that position. So a couple of things that were maybe cleared up on special teams for the Nebraska depth chart. Let's give you a chance to be the first person to either go down in flames or claim victory over Jim Langan and myself on Doug and Daddy's Pigskin Pick'em, brought to you by Big Daddy's Deli and Cunningham's. First correct caller to answer this trivia question gets the Big Daddy's Deli combo meal and goes up against us. We all know that Nebraska has the longest season opening winning streak of any college in the nation. They've won 27 consecutive season openers. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Out of those 27 season openers, how many times has Nebraska shut out the opponent? Out of the 27 wins on opening day, how many times has Nebraska shut out the opponent? First correct caller goes up against Jimmy and I in Pigskin Pick'em, Doug and Daddy Show, 888-455-ESPN. We'll be right back.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Guaranteed.
Only the Home Depot has durable Husky steel storage solutions from as little as $198. Sturdy tool chests and cabinets with smooth, ball-bearing drawer slides. So you can load them up and the drawers will never complain. Give your workbench a workover. You'll find a place for your tools with Husky Heavy Duty Storage, and you'll only find Husky Heavy Duty Storage in one place. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
You're in your car, and your car, well, it takes more money from you than your kids. But you can't afford to cut your car's allowance. That's why you signed up for AutoZone Rewards, which helps you save money while you work on your car. So while the cost of raising kids can drive you crazy, at least you'll still be driving.
Sign up for AutoZone Rewards. It's free to join. Just spend $20 or more 5 times and earn $20 in store credit. Become a member today. Get in the zone. AutoZone. See store for restrictions and details.
There we were, me and my buddies at our favorite hangout, Cunningham's Journal. This time, we're sitting out in the courtyard, which is pretty cool. It's like you're sitting out in the tropics, got the palm trees, beachy scene, bunch of TVs to watch sports, and of course, live entertainment every week. When all of a sudden, I had an urge to get a frozen margarita. Of course, my friends just laughed. If you're looking for a good place to hang out this summer, eat good food, or even have a margarita, Cunningham's Journal in the courtyard is the place to be in downtown Carney.
Show time for Pigskin Pick'em. Doug Duda along with Jim Langan on this first Friday of the college football season. And we congratulate Matt from Holdridge. He was the correct caller. He knew that in this 27-game winning streak, Nebraska has only shut out the opponent on opening day twice. And it's been quite some time. The last one, Jimmy, was way back in the kickoff classic against West Virginia. Tommy Frazier and the boys won it 1994, 31-0. They also shut out Baylor in 1990 by a score of 13-0. I think it was at that game.
Is that right? You know, I would have guessed higher than that. I think I guessed 3 just when you were kind of going through it, and I kind of pointed fingers like 3 times. But, yeah, that's been a long time. There hasn't been a lot of points scored against him in some of those games. But, you know, shutouts are tough to get, though, this day and age in football.
Well, let's do our Pigskin Pick'em. Already a winner of a Big Dally Deli combo meal. You can get any sandwich you want, any way you want, with the great toppings you want. 2 locations in Hastings at 801 West 2nd, 610 East South, 1 downtown, 1 next to Duncan Field, also top of the hill at Kearney, 3905 North 2nd Avenue. And if you do defeat us, you'll get the $10 gift card to Cunningham's. If you don't defeat us, it'll be $20 next week, $30 next week, and at the end of the year, you'll have a chance to win tickets to the Nebraska-Iowa game. So all of that is part of the Doug and Daddy Pigskin Pick'em. Matthew, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get after it. We're going to start with a game that Jimmy talked about a little earlier, Texas Tech versus SMU. Texas Tech is favored by about 5.5.
I'll take SMU.
Jimmy, who you got?
I got SMU.
I'm taking Texas Tech. Kentucky and Western Kentucky. Why? Because it's a 3-point, 4-point spread for Kentucky. I'm taking Kentucky just because they got some Nebraska connections down there now.
Is that right?
Yeah. They stole some of our players.
I'm going to take Western Kentucky.
All right, Matthew, who you got?
I'll take Kentucky.
BYU versus Virginia. This one, Jimmy, has had the line change a little bit. Virginia opened as almost a touchdown favorite, and now BYU is a slight favorite. What's going on and who you got?
I don't know what's going on, but I am taking Virginia.
Matt, who you got?
BYU.
I'm going to take Virginia as well. Normally that would make you flee and take BYU, but Matt took BYU, so we'll circle that. Northern Illinois at Iowa. Really, the only bright spot that Iowa had last year was beating this BCS team by 1 point. Matthew, Northern Illinois, Iowa. Iowa favored at home by a field goal. Who you got?
Iowa.
I'm taking Northern Illinois, Jimmy. Who you got?
I'm going to take Iowa.
All right, let's go with Penn State versus Syracuse. I will continue my Penn State bandwagon. I took them almost every time last year. I'm taking them again. Penn State at Syracuse. I'm taking the Nittany Lions. They are about a touchdown favorite at Syracuse. Jim, who you got?
I'll take Penn State also.
How about you, Matt?
Penn State.
Northwestern travels across the country to take on California. Northwestern is favored by 5 to 6 points. Jimmy, who you like here?
Boy, I tell you what, it looks like a trap game to me. You know, California could beat Northwestern. Nebraska went down in UCLA, but I'm still going to take Northwestern. I just think their athleticism is going to be better than California's new coach and what they've got.
I'm gonna drink the purple Kool-Aid. I'm going Northwestern. Matt, how about you?
Northwestern.
LSU, TCU. I'm sorry. LSU, those three letters are stronger than TCU. That's who I'm taking. Matt, how about you?
LSU.
And this is only about a four-point game, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm going to spell it different than you guys. I'm going to go with TCU.
Wow. Wow. I just – Boise State, Washington. Who you got, Jimmy?
I'm taking Washington.
Matt, who you like there?
Boise State.
I have taken Boise State as well. Washington's about a three-point favorite. Georgia-Clemson. Georgia-Clemson, probably the game of the weekend. Clemson at home. Early was favored by two. Now it's kind of switched over to Georgia. I'm sticking with Georgia. I guess even if it was from the bowl game, I guess I just like Georgia. Who you got, Jimmy?
I'm going to take Clemson, and I think I might go 0-9. You know, these first nine games are all tough, but I'm going to take Clemson.
Matt, who you like?
Georgia.
And finally, a Sunday afternoon game. Colorado State, the annual rivalry. Colorado coming off a one-win season. Matt, who you got?
Colorado State.
Jimmy, I have taken Colorado State. They are the 2.5-point favorite. Who do you have?
Why would I take anything? The whole time I've been different. I'm going to stay that way. I'll take Colorado.
Jimmy and I have our tiebreaker wrote down here. The tiebreaker is the total points in the Nebraska game. Total points, Wyoming-Nebraska. What do you got, Matt, for the tiebreaker?
52.
52-5-2?
Yes.
Is that 52. Correct? 52. That's lower than both of our predictions. I have Nebraska 45, Wyoming 14. That adds up to 59. Jimmy has?
44-17, which adds up to 61.
Hey, Matt, congratulations on already being a winner, and best of luck here in week one. Enjoy the games.
Thank you.
Matt from Holdridge going up against us here. Pigskin Pick'em. That is my prediction. The 45-14 is good enough for a cover for Nebraska. It is not good enough to hit the overs. Let me give you a little stat here. Nebraska looking to extend that season-opening winning streak to 28 games. The Huskers have won each of their last 27 season openers by 9 points or more. Nebraska has scored 40 or more points in 20 of those 27 games. The last time that they didn't score 40 or more points, Maine, the 25-7 win that everybody can kind of remember. During the win streak, Nebraska has limited opponents to 14 points or less 18 times. Now, Southern Miss scored 20 last year, getting the late one. Western Michigan got 24. But 49-20, 47, 49-10, 49-3, 47-24, 52-10, 49-10. Those are the last seven season openers for Big Red. So I kind of feel comfortable with my prediction. And I know we've got some Wyoming fans traveling down I-80 right now with their Wyoming gear on. And I will also kind of say this. I think it'll be 45-14. But if this is a 10-13-point game, I'm not going to come in here on Tuesday's show and just be going, oh, my God, I can't believe what happened. I'll be a little surprised, but I won't be shocked because Wyoming has some tools. Who knows how much better they've got on defense. That'll be the key.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, you could have a backdoor cover on this. You know what I mean? Nebraska could get up 44-3, and Wyoming's not going to quit. You know that as well as I do. Wyoming is going to play for 60 minutes of football. This is a big-time game for them. I think they're going to get a pretty good paycheck, too. But this is a big-time game. There's a lot of kids that get tired of hearing about how good Nebraska is and that live just one state away. It's a contingent state. It'll be a little exciting.
Before we make our season prediction for Nebraska, let's give you our Midtown Mart cooler question for the weekend. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Who will win the AFC North? That was our question yesterday. Cincinnati Bengals, 57%. I took the Ravens as a long shot because nobody's on them. 29%. Of course, my heart's still there since it was all over them. 14% for the Steelers. Over the weekend, which team will – you got the Bengals, by the way, Jimmy? You got the Ravens, Steelers, or the Browns?
You know, after talking to the main – we have this guy on our show. He calls us, tells us what to do. I'm taking the Browns. Give me the Browns.
You're crazy. Which team will win the NFC South this year? Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, usually the most topsy-turvy division in all of football. Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans. Who will win the NFC South this year?
Probably Atlanta, but I'm going to take New Orleans.
Yeah, everything is supposed to be back in order. That's the key. It'll take us a little time to see, is everything back in order? Don't forget about the Saints. I like that pick as well. I think when we make our playoff picks next week, the Saints and Falcons probably both going to be there on mine. You can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com on our Midtown Mart cooler question. Have I forgot anything today, Jeffrey?
High school football. We haven't talked any high school football.
Just a little bit from last night.
Yeah.
Tonight, I'll have Carney and Pius. You're going to go watch your son play. Also, on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, Sutton Tri-County, Hastings and Seward will be on 1230 AM KHAS. Folks, remember, wherever you're at, you can get us on the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. PlatteRiverPreps.com. Aurora McCook, big game tonight. Other games, Northwest at Sydney, Holdridge at Gehring, Scottsbluff at Lexington. You've got O'Neill at St. Paul. A couple of other games in the eight-man ranks. Ansley Litchfield's at Burwell, Franklin at Arapahoe, Overton's at Stapleton, McPherson County, Wilcox, Hildreth at Red Cloud, and South Loop at Anselmo Myrna. Kennesaw at Pleasanton, Elwood is at Medicine Valley. Anything you had on the high school scene?
Well, just last night, you know, when you said that the number one team in the state in Class A got beat 31-27, of course, Millard North and Millard South, probably two of the top five teams in the state.
Yeah, that was actually 20-16. 21-27 was Lakeview.
Oh, okay.
Falling to Norfolk Catholic, but a lot closer than many people would have thought. Nebraska volleyball begins today. They're at the St. Louis tournament. They'll play Louisiana Monroe. Hastings College is already playing right now as they are taking on 14th-ranked Park University tonight, Evangel University now. They've got two more matches tomorrow down in Columbia, Missouri. They have two top 15 matchups this weekend. UNK Volleyball takes on their alumni tomorrow at noon at the Health and Sports Center. That's free and open to the public. Jimmy, give me your Husker prediction. What's going to happen this season? How many wins? And will they win a championship of any kind?
Well, last year, you know, Rex Burkhead got hurt in the first game. And I really felt the offense, Taylor Martinez really had to step up and do some things. If Taylor Martinez would get hurt, try to imagine what would happen to that football team. I just think we're not going to have to ride him. He's going to have to make big plays. And then as the season goes on, other people are going to have to step up. I don't know which running back it's going to be. I don't know what's going to happen that way. But if we can get somebody to carry the football and run the ball, hey, we're national champs.
You know, I was thinking about doing something crazy that way myself. I don't, when you get this close, you get to drinking the Kool-Aid and you start believing. And Sean Callahan really sold me at the Husker lunch on Wednesday. And don't forget, Steve Sipple will be with us at Cunningham's this Wednesday to recap Wyoming and preview game number two against Southern Miss. All along, that 10-2 has looked good to me. I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to stick with them getting back to Indianapolis to the championship game. But I will say this. Don't just say Nebraska can't go to the Rose Bowl. All right? I'm just going to say don't say Nebraska can't go to the Rose Bowl. I, too, believe a little bit that Nebraska could run the table. But before everybody wrecks their vehicles here, if that defense isn't good, bad things. Too many close wins last year. But I'm going to drink a little Kool-Aid. I think this possibly 11-1. I thought Penn State is really going to be a big game, but that is so far down the road. If they got momentum, if they beat Michigan, then maybe they get that one. But I'll stick with it. 10-2, go to the Big Ten championship game, win a bowl game, maybe 12-2 at the end of this season. What would you think of that?
I would be satisfied with anything over 10 wins. I think that would be a great season, and I just hope that's good enough.
All right, folks, enjoy it. Huskers, 2 o'clock pregame on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, kickoff 7:05 tomorrow. We will see you Tuesday. Daryl Morris and Tony Harper talking Hastings College and UNK football, plus a recap of Nebraska-Wyoming.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.